This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Zaid Shakir. I'm here on behalf of Zaytuna College. Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor to be part of the team that founded that college and to continue to be involved with the college. It's a great, great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon myself and the others who have worked so hard to make this dream a reality, the dream of Zaytuna College now a reality. Alhamdulillah, this is our second installment of the series examining the poetry in Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali's Lata'if al-Ma'arif fima li mawasim al-am min al-wada'if, and his section in Ramadan. And as we mentioned, doing something a little different, looking at the poetry just to highlight the importance of poetry in not only Islamic literature, but in Islamic religious writings. And as we mentioned, this is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. This isn't, you know, someone who's from sort of a, how could we say, fringe orientation in the Islamic theological or scholarly tradition, but someone right at the core of the more conservative side of the tradition. But his book is replete with poetry. So we were dealing with poetry related to two sections of the hadith that served as the introduction to the first part of the book. And the hadith we mentioned yesterday, we'll just mention the relevant sections of the hadith to start off today. And the relevant section of the hadith is related by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم للصائم فرحتان فرحة عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه ولا خلوف فهم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك. So he says, رحمه صلى الله عليه وسلم, the fasting person will have two delights, the delight when he or she meets their Lord. And the delight when they break their fast, and the delight when they meet their Lord, and the foul odor sometimes emanating from the mouth, really originating in the stomach of the fasting person, is sweeter with Allah than the fragrance of musk. So the verses we'll examine now, just highlighting the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in our literature, there's a lot of our scholars have dedicated ourselves in describing the meeting with Allah based on their internalized spiritual experiences. And so may Allah give us tawfiq. So we'll start. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيد محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. قال المصنف رحمه الله ونفعنا الله به وبكم أجمعين. So one of the poets mentioned, كبرت همة عبد طمعت في أن تراك من يصوم عن مفطرات فصيامي عن سواك عن سواك عفوا فصيامي عن سواك. So he says that the spiritual aspirations of a servant has become very, very great. So كبرت همة عبد, and he's longing to see you. So he's longing to see you. One who fasts from those physical things, one might fast from those physical things that break the fast. So fast from water, from food, from relations, etc. But my fast is from as from anything other than you. And so this is the fast of the Arifin, the fast of those who have experienced in their lives the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they've moved beyond conceptualization. And that reality is so powerful that it destroys their desire for anything other than Allah. And someone might ask, how would such a person function in the world? They love what their beloved loves. And they know their beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves charity. Their beloved loves that to ease the burden of those who are weighed down and oppressed. Their beloved loves to visit the sick. Oh, my servant, I was sick, you did not visit me. How could I visit you? You're the Lord of the world. Do you not know that my servant so-and-so was sick? If you had visited him, you would have found me there. And so one fulfills one's shari and one's ethical obligations, knowing that those things are pleasing to their beloved. And so those obligations and fulfilling them are a function of one's love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when one attains to that rank of ma'rifah, internalized experiential knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahim. So another poet relates, Ya Habib al-Qulubi man li siwaka irham al-yawma mudniban qad ataka. And there's elongation for the meter of the verse. So that's siwaka and ataka. So siwaka, ataka. Laysa li fil jinan mawlaya ra'sun ghayru anni uriduha li araka. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. So he says, oh, the beloved of the hearts, Allah, there is no one for me besides you. Have mercy this day on a criminal who has come to you. I have no need in Jannah, in paradise, O my Lord, for a head other than it is necessary for me to see you. نعم ليس لي في الجنان مولاي رأس غير أني أريدها لأراك. So the eye is the head is the repository of the eyes, and therefore the head is this is a rhetorical device. ذكر الكل وإرادة البعض, mentioning the whole thing, the رأس, but intending the eyes that are in the head, the head rather in English, mentioning the whole thing, the head, but intending the part of the head, the eyes that the head contains. And then there's the opposite, and ذكر البعض وإرادة الكل, وإرادة الكل. So mentioning part of the thing, but reminding, intending the whole thing. For example, تحرير الرقبة. So literally liberating the neck, تحرير الرقبة. And so the neck is mentioned, but the entire body, liberating the entire body of someone who might have been in bondage. Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah. So another poet, he said, Inna yawman jami'an shamli bihimu, dhaka eidi laysa li eidun siwahu. So he says, verily, this is the day where I gather all of my affairs, focus my affairs into one affair. And that's similar to Jam'il Humum, Hamman Wahida, connecting, gathering all of one's concerns into a single concern. And that concern is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jam'u Shamli, Jam'u Humumi. So he says, on a day, all of my concerns, all of their concerns, that my concerns are gathered. That day is my Eid, and I have no other Eid besides that day. So they're gathered and focused on the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day of the meeting, the day of the ru'yah, that is Eid. And so they say there are a weekly Eid, that is Jumu'ah, two annual Eids, which are Eid al-Fitr, which we'll have in 3 weeks or so, a little over 3 weeks, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And then there is a fourth Eid. And that fourth Eid is the otherworldly Eid, and that's the day of the Ru'yah. وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day will be illuminated, gazing upon their Lord, however that will be. So we don't know how that will be when the eternal meets the temporal, when the unlimited, unrestricted meets the limited, when the Creator meets one of his creatures, when the one who is beginningless meets the one who he brought into existence at a certain point in time. We mentioned temporal. So in any case, how that will be, Allahu A'lam, but it will be, and it will be a physical reality, but the nature of it, we don't know. Bismillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And so that's the Eid of the Arifin. That's the Eid of those who have experienced the reality of Allah beyond conception. So we can conceptualize, for example, Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah, what honey tastes like. Someone can describe it. It says like sugar, but not quite like sugar because its flavor and sweetness is different. And depending on the honey's various flavors are different. And they can go on, and we can have an idea, but until we've actually tasted honey, then we really don't know. Once we taste it, now it's moved from conception. So we have a conceptualization of what honey tastes like based on the various descriptions we're giving. But once we have tasted it, now it's experience. And this is why the trans-conceptual realities associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each of them is called, so you read some of the books in our spiritual tradition, and they'll talk about dhawq. The dhawq is the thing that cannot be fully captured conceptually. So intellectually, we can't fully capture. We have to actually experience. So literally, we have to taste it. And once we taste it, now it's so much more powerful than conceptualizing that it moves us into a different realm of experience. May Allah bless us entering that into that realm. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So another one of the poets, he says, تذلل أرباب الهوى في الهوى عز وفقرهم نحو الحبيب هو الكنز وسبهم فيه السرائر شهرة وغير تلاف النفس فيه هو العجز. He said the humbling of the masters of their souls, and that the whims and caprices of their soul, mastering them, they totally ignore them. They have no power over them. So someone who's unrefined spiritually, if the hawa just says, aren't you hungry for Burger King now? They start salivating, just at the suggestion. Yeah, I'm hungry for Burger King now. But the Arbab al-Hawa, those things have, they have no pathway to enter into their realm of perception, because they mastered it through adhering to the Sharia. You have some people seeking the truth, and there are mountains and New Mexico smoking hash, reading in translation, and they think that's spiritual. But there's no path to start with the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the and the end. And the one of the greatest means, and that regard is humility. They said, tadallu arbab al-hawa, the humbling of the master's soul. Why is that the greatest means for spiritual elevation, brothers and sisters? Because one can only elevate, push oneself so high. But there's no limit to how far Allah can elevate you, or me, or anyone. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفْعَهُ اللَّهُ. No one humbles themselves for the sake of Allah except that Allah elevates them. إِلَّا رَفْعَهُ اللَّهُ. Except Allah elevates them. Never forget that, brothers and sisters. So humility is one of the greatest stations on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tadallu arbab al-hawa fil hawa. So the humbling of the masters of the soul, the caprices of the soul in love is might. And so a person who's just madly in love, you might say that they're like a puppet. Whatever she tells him to do, he does. Whatever he tells her to do, she does. Because she's crazy in love. He's crazy. He's mad in love. Right? But when the beloved is subhanahu wa ta'ala, is my faqruhum. And their impoverishment is an expression of their need, for their beloved is a treasure. So their poverty, faqruhumu, nahwa al-habib, huwa al-kanzu, it's a treasure. The poverty is treasure. When that poverty is the depth of their acknowledgement of the need for their beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَتُرْهُمُ فِيهِ سَرَائِرَ شُهْرَةٌ. And they're hiding the secrets that exist between them and their beloved is broadcasting it. So the joy some people get from broadcasting secrets, they get that joy, the joy of broadcasting by concealing it. And وَغَيْرُ تَلَاثِ النَّفْسِ فِيهِ هُوَ الْعَجْزُ. And anything short of just using up their entire self for the sake of their beloved is weakness. And so تَلَاثِ, little, they're worn out and exhausted, and they gave everything for their beloved. Anything short of that is weakness. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. I mean, we exhaust ourselves, right, in an athletic endeavor. They say, man, you left it all out there on the field. You left it all out there on the court. You left it all out there on the track. Are we leaving it all out there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are we holding back? May Allah give us tawfiq and taysir and qabool. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. So he then says another poet, And this is related to the final point. وَلَا خَلُوفَ فَهْمَ السَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِرِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. For he says, ظُلُّ الْفَتَى فِي الْحُبِّ مَكْرُمَةٌ وَخُضُوعُهُ لِحَبِيبِهِ شَرَفُ. So a person humbling themselves in love is nobility. It's not debasement. It's nobility. Some people are afraid to fall in love because they feel they'll be abused. Because if I'm in love and then I'm humbled before this person, they're going to walk all over me. And so they put up this wall. But we don't need a wall between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need, because Allah will never betray His beloved. Allah will never betray His beloved. May Allah give us tawfiq. And obeying Him and His obedience to His beloved is honor. So His humility and love is nobility. And His obedience is honor, sharaf. Then he has a, there are many sections in this book. They're actually prose, but they're extremely poetic. And this one of the beauties of this book, Lataf al-Ma'arif, of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, is that there are many passages that they're prose. So they're not poetry, but they're extremely poetic. And so there's one of these, so we'll share that, inshallah ta'ala. So he says, rahimahullah, لَمَّا سُلْسِلَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ خَمَدَتْ نِيرَانُ شَهَوَاتِ بِالصِّيَامِ. So he says, when shaitan has been chained up in the month of Ramadan, the fires of lust have been extinguished by fast, and the fires of lust have been extinguished by fasting. And azala sultan al hawa, the authority of one's whims has been isolated. Wasarat al dawlatu lil hakim al aqli bil aqli, and the authority has been rendered to the ruler of the intellect with justice. فَلَمْ يَبْقَى لِلْعَاصِ عُذْرٌ. There's no longer any excuse for a rebellious sinner. يَا غُيُومَ الْغَفْلَةِ عَنِ الْقُلُوبِ تَقَشَّعِي. O you clouds of heedlessness that have covered the hearts, disperse. يَا شُمُوسَ التَّقْوَى وَالْإِيمَانِ اَقْلَعِي. O you sons, S-U-N-S, O you sons of righteousness and faith, rise. It's the sunrise. Ya sahaif al-a'mal al-salihin nartafi'i. O you pages recording the deeds of the righteous people, elevate. O you hearts of the fasters, be rendered reverent. Ya aqdam al mujtahideen, sujudi li rabbiki warka'i. O you the feet of those who are striving in their devotions during the nights of Ramadan, prostrate unto your Lord and bow down. Ya uyun al mujtahideen la tahajjai. O you eyes of those likewise asserting themselves in the worship of the night, find no sleep. Ya dhunub al ta'ibeen la tarji'i. O the sons, the sins of those who have repented never return. Ya ard al hawa ibla'i ma'aki. O you earth of the whims and caprices, swallow up your water. So the swallow your water so no one ever drowns in them ever again. Ya sama' an-nufusi aqli'i. Oh, you, the sky, the heavens of the souls, hold back your rain. Oh, the lower souls, manifestations of the soul. Aqli'i, hold back your rain. Ya buruq al-ashwaqi lil-ushaq al-ma'i. Oh, the lightning of the longing of the lovers, flash brightly. Ya qawatu al-arifin arta'i. The imagination of those who have experienced the reality of Allah, graze in the pastures of your Lord's mercy. Ya himam al-muhibbina bighayri lahi la taqna'i. Oh, the aspirations of those who love other than Allah, may you find no contentment until you meet the love, until your heart is filled with the love of Allah. Then be content. Ya himam al-muhibbina bighayri lahi la taqna'i. Find no contentment. Ya Junaid tatrab. Oh, Junaid, be overjoyed. Ya Shibli yuhbar. O Shibli, be in attendance to this great feast of spiritual delight that's being offered. Ya Rabia tusma'i. O Rabia, reference to Rabia Adawiyas, he's mentioning some of the great salaf of the spiritual way. Ya Rabia tusma'i. Ya Rabia, listen well. قَدْ مُدَّتْ فِي هَذِ الْأَيَّامِ مَوَائِدُ الْإِنْعَامِ لِلصُّوَّامِ. And during these days, feasts of blessings have been spread forth for the fasting person. So the feast is not in eating, the feast is in the blessings of the fast. فَمَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ دُعِي. And there is no one amongst you except that they've been invited to these feasts, to sit at these tables spread. La ilaha illallah. Ya qawmuna ajibu da'i Allah. Oh my people, oh our people, respond to the invitation of Allah. Wa ya himam al-mu'minin asri'i. Oh you aspirations of the believers, hasten. فَتُوبَ لِمَنْ أَجَابَ فَأَصَابَ. And paradise, tuba, the earth or tree in paradise, the earth or the tree, if you get to enjoy either one, you're in. So paradise is for the one who responds and therefore does the right thing. وَوَيْلٌ لِمَنْ طُرِدَ مِنَ الْبَابِ وَمَا دُعِي. And hell, wail being referred, many of the scholars define or identify as one of the most hellacious valleys in hell. So hell for the one who's cast away from the door and is not invited in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invite all of us into the feast. And then he concludes this particular section. سألتك يا بانة الأجرعي متى رفع الحي من العلائي وهل مر قلبي مع الضائنين أم خار ضعفا فلم يتبعي رحلنا ووافقنا الصادقون ولم يتخلف سوى مدعي ليت شعري إن جدتهم يقبلوني أم تراهم عن بابهم يصرفوني أم تراني إذا وقفت لديهم يأذنوا بالدخول أم يطردوني. La ilaha illallah. He said, I ask you, oh the tree standing in the meadows, So I asked you, yeah, the moringa tree. This is a banner. So a tree of exceeding benefit, standing in the metal of nearness to Allah, the metal of the fulfillment of those longing for Allah. There's different ways we can interpret this alongside Rasulullah. Hope we interpret it right. When will the living quarters wherein lies my beloved be revealed beyond my mirage? The mirage, the illusion that hides them. وَهَلْ مَرَّ قَلْبِي مَعَ الظَّائِنِينَ Has my heart moved on with those who have moved on? أَخَارَ ضُعْفًا فَلَمْ يَتْبَعِي Or is it overwhelmed by weakness and it's unable to move out and follow them? We have and though truthful move on thus. وَلَمْ يَتَخَلَّفْ سِوَى مُدَّعِي And no one remains behind in this spiritual journey except one who is advancing a false claim, the mudda'i. That's why we make no claims. We make no claims. I'm Sheikh al-Sheikh. I'm super murid. I'm the talib al-ilm. Who's one step away from Mashaha. I have no claims. I've arrived. Wasaltu. You've arrived to where? You've arrived to whatever your unrefined soul has deluded you into thinking you've arrived to. No claims. Because the claims are usually false. And those who advance false claims in terms of their spiritual station are those who are left behind in the journey. وَلَمْ يَتَخَلَّفْ سِوَى مُدَّعِي No one but the false claimant has been left behind, has remained behind. لَيْتَ شِعْرِي إِنْ جِدْتُهُمْ يَقْبَلُونِي I wish I knew if I were to attain to them, they would accept me. أَمْ تُرَاهُمْ عَنْ بَابِهِمْ يَصْرُفُونِي Or would they cast me away from their doors? أَمْ تُرَانِي إِذَا وَقَفْتُ لَدَيْهِمْ Or you see me if I were to stand with them. فَأْذَنُوا بِالدُّخُولِ أَمْ يَطْرَدُونِي Would they give me permission to enter along with them or would they cast me away? And in other words, the himma pushes us, but no one who really understands our religion takes anything for granted. So it can't be taken for granted. We're going to enter paradise, and that's why some people are puzzled. Some Christians are puzzled when they're asked you. Are you going to heaven? And the Muslim will say, Inshallah, if Allah has mercy on me. But we'll not give a definitive, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Because we don't take that for granted. And then there are other theological reasons that restrain us. But we don't take Allah's mercy for granted. And we have indications, but we don't deceive ourselves into believing that those indications are assurances of our success. May Allah give us tawfiq, but we're at peace. We're at peace. So we're not agitated and anxious, but we don't take anything for granted. And this is part of the balance, the tawazun of the believer, ummatan wasata, between extremes. So we're not at the extreme of assuming, as they say, we're in like Flynn. I'm going to Jannah, of course. I pray every night. I do fast Ramadan. I do all 20 rakats of Taraweeh. And we don't despair. And we're not filled with anxiety about the situation. We do our best. We make a good niyyah. And we trust in Allah's mercy. But we don't take that mercy for granted. Then he starts a new section, rahimahullah. This section is based on the hadith of Ibn Abbas and is dealing with charity. So the lessons from the first hadith, which we mentioned the other day, those are done. And the associated poetry is actually done. I discovered that I missed a verse, but it was along the lines of those that we related. And so we'll relate the hadith and then we'll open the floor for questions, inshallah ta'ala. فقال المصنف رحمه الله ونفعنا الله به وبكم أجمعين المجلس الثاني في فضل الجود في رمضان وتلاوة القرآن. So the second section of the book, literally the second sitting, literally. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. Deals with the virtue of charity and during Ramadan and reciting the Quran. So the hadith was fi sahihayn an Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qala. So he's describing the Prophet, not relating from him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. An Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qala kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ajwada an-nasi wa ajwada ma yakunu wa kana ajwada ma yakunu في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل فيدارسه القرآن ولا جبريل يلقاه كل ليلة من رمضان فيدارسه القرآن ولا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين يلقاه جبريل في رمضان أجود في الخير من الريح المرسلة. So he says that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessing of Allah upon him, was the most generous of all people. And the time that he was especially generous was during Ramadan, when the angel Gabriel would come to him and review the Quran with him. And the angel Gabriel would come to him every night during Ramadan. And when the angel Gabriel came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to review the Quran, the Messenger of Allah was sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more generous in charity than the free blowing wind that indiscriminately disperses the seeds, indiscriminately disperses the rain to all quarters. So Allah doesn't hold back the rain from lands where people are idolaters and sinners. The generosity of Allah is such that Allah just indiscriminately sends the rains and the seeds. And the Prophet ﷺ was more generous than those free blowing, or what some translate as the fecundating winds, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the poetry in this section is dealing with the charity and dealing with the recitation of the Quran. So we'll stop here until next week. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So a question yesterday, does not being able to protect our eyes from particular things in society harm our fasting? This is the whole point. Once you move beyond the physical, then your eyes don't even notice those wrong things. And so the logical follow-up, what if I haven't reached that point? Make an intention and then try. And with your good intention, inshallah ta'ala, as we mentioned, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ, so humble yourself, admit your weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. So you might not be at the level spiritually where those things don't affect you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant you protection from himself because of the sincerity of your niyya and not because of the advancement of your spiritual state. Allah give you tawfiq. Hanji asks, what was the Prophet Muhammad's opinion on poetry? Suffice it to say that the Prophet, to use a term we use, hired Hassan al-Thabit as his poet to respond to with Islamic poetry to the insulting, derogatory poetry of the idolaters. That's sufficient right there. So the Prophet ﷺ, he had Hassan al-Thabit and others respond in poetry to the poetry of the idolaters. And so the ulama are of the opinion that poetry that is negative and salacious is insulting, which was in abundance amongst the Arabs, that poetry is forbidden. But poetry that's in agreement with the message of Islam, that defends Islam, that reminds people of Allah, that poetry is encouraged. Allahumma salli rasulillah. And there are many examples where we mentioned in the case of Hassan ibn Thabit. We can mention the case of Ahmad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm trying to think of it. It escapes me right now. But the verse of Labib, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the truest thing any poet says was the verse of Labib. And it escaped. It's a well-known verse, but there are many instances of that where the Prophet ﷺ affirmed poetry. And there are other instances where his words conform to poetic meter, even though he didn't initiate it as poetry per se. So, for example, on the day of Hunayn, when the Prophet said, "Ana nabiyyu la kadib, kadib, and ibn Abdul Muttalib." So I am a prophet, that's no life. When Bani Hawazin ambushed the Muslims at Hunayn with an ambush of arrows, they were expert archers. So they rained down a shower of arrows on the advancing Muslim forces. And many of the newly converted people who were in that army, they fled away, but the Prophet ﷺ, he kept advancing through the shower of arrows. He said, "Ana nabiyyu la kadib, and ibn Abdul Muttalib." That I'm a prophet, it's no lie, I'm the son of Abdul Muttalib. And he kept advancing. And so that was rajas. That was a form of, some people say rajas isn't poetry, but it conformed to poetic meter. Another person asked, how can we ensure with our busy schedule that we focus on Allah? Focus on Allah in your busy schedule. Like say if you're working on an assembly line and a factory, and you could just go through the monotonous thing, or you could go through it, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah. And so dhikr as you drive your car, make salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as you drive your car, and make tahleel, la ilaha illallah, as you move between tasks in your busy day. And so we have to take advantage of the free time we do have, because if we added it up, we find that it's hours every day. But we don't take advantage of it, and then we come under the ruling of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun min an-nasi as-sihhati wal-faragh. There are two great blessings most people are cheated out of: their health and their spare time. In other words, while they're healthy, they don't take advantage of that to pray more, to fast more. Then they're old and weak and fatigued, and they can't bear the rigors of extra fasting and praying. And wal-faragh, and their spare time. So wasted in this, we just wasted it with nothing. Sometimes we'll waste it with empty things, watching television, going on these chat rooms, not the chat here, but those chats where you just chit chat about everybody and go on, you know, let's slander this sheikh and get involved in this controversy when it's none of our business, chat room, and all of these things. And it adds up to hours every day. So fill those hours at dunya sa'a, faj'alha ta'a. This world is but a moment. Fill that moment with the obedience of Allah. So we have a question from China. Sanha. Assalamu alaikum, brother or sister Sanha. If your father is doing something wrong, do you need to ask him to stop? How do you talk to him about it? Well, if you can find a way, if he's going to respond violently, or not physical violence necessarily, but with harsh words that will multiply the wrongs, he starts cursing at you. And now the wrong that he's doing is compounded by the wrong of his words. So if the case, you anticipate that there's an angle you can to remind him of wrong that he's doing, try to take advantage of that. Also, how can we find laziness in this? By reflecting on the fact, number one, every moment is precious, because every moment falls unlimited. Family is a manifestation of patience, and the reward of patience is unlimited. So fasting is patience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even mentioned a hadith in the compilation of Imam Tirmidhi, Ramadan shahr sabr. Ramadan is the month of patience. Somu nisf sabr. Fasting is half of patience. The exegetes on the verse wasta'in sabr wa salah, they seek the help of Allah with patience and prayer. They say with fasting, verse A, wasta'in wa salah, with fasting and prayer. So what is the reward of patience? The patient ones will be given their reward with no numerical limitations. And so fasting has no numerical limitations. So every moment of fast is heaping immeasurable amounts of good into our another reason, I think, well, we might have time after this. There's a version of that. We mentioned the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. That's in Abu Muslim, which starts Qul amal ibn Adam lahu al-hasanatu bi'ashir daliha ila sab'i mi'adif wa qala Allah nazlawa qala Allahu azza wa jal illa siyama innahu li wa ana ajzi bi. That every action undertaken by the child of Adam is for him or her. And good deeds are multiplied 10 times over, 700 times over. Another hadith mentions, إِلَ عَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا, many times over and beyond that. Allah says, except fasting, that is mine, and I will reward the servant with that. Allah says, except fasting, that's mine. Fasting is that reward, that ajr is for Allah. Another version of that hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah, it becomes hadith Qudsi, kullu amal ibn adama lahu kaffaratun. Every action undertaken by the child of Adam is a source of atonement, expiation for their sins, wipes out their sin. Illa sawma as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bi. Except fasting. Fasting is mine, I will reward the servant with it. And so based on this version, Sufyan bin Uyayna, one of the great scholars from the early generation of Muslims, says that on Yom Qiyamah, when a process called Rabdul Mazalim, or compensating those who are oppressed. They'll take from my good deeds. So when Adi mentioned for akhada that's min ummati and man la mala ya Rasulullah, he said that in al muflis shatma hada wa daraba hada wa akhada mala hada fa akhada min hasanati akhadu min hasanati akhadu min hasanati. So who's the bank this ummah? One is the wealth of Messenger of Allah. That's not what I'm talking about. Rather, the one who has slandered this one and struck that one and taken the wealth of Allah, and they will come and they will take from his good deeds and take from the good deeds. And Sufyan bin Uyayna, he says, some people have done so much with people, all of their good deeds exhausted. And at that point, Allah Ta'ala, Allah will reach those they still then return to them the reward of their fasting, because no one could take that because it's not ours. Ours. Illa siyama fa innahu li, illa sawma fa innahu li, wa ana ajzi bi. No, except fasting, that's mine, that's Allah's, and I will reward them with it. And so he says, after all of their hasanat are gone, Allah will return them the reward of their fasting, and many people will enter paradise based on the reward of their fasting alone. And so, Senha, if that doesn't get the laziness out of a person, I don't know what will, knowing that this one action is earning reward that no one can take. And if all of my actions are taken by those I might have wronged, the reward of my fasting remains. So shouldn't we want that to be as much and as bounteous as possible? Allah help us all. Sarah Danish is back for round two. And she asks, is it okay to ask Allah for spiritual guidance? Would that be deemed greedy? No, ask Allah. We ask Allah, right, for leadership of the righteous in Quran. Waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. Make us leaders for the righteous. And leadership in Islam is coupled with knowledge. It's coupled with knowledge. And so, but we ask spiritual guidance for the sake of actualizing our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani litahqiq ar-rububiyyah. تحقيق الربوبية, to actualize our servitude and not to show off before people, not to make some claim that I am the great spiritual master. There's a story. This isn't necessarily true. It could be, but I don't think it's true. It's a lesson. So I'm just telling you, because we're not supposed to invent things or lie about things to make jokes. So it's a little bit of a joke, but it's probably not true. And so it's just a story to convey a lesson. So there's a person, he traveled the world looking for a spiritual master. And someone said, there's a spiritual master in the high in the Atlas Mountains of Morocco. And so he went as far as he could go and rented a car, and then he walked over hill and dale and mountains, and finally he got to the village. And so everyone was at the Zawiya, the center of the sheikh, and their heads are looking in the window, and they're just describing the sheikh. They said, look how humble he is. He was praying one of his voluntary prayers. Look how humble this is recitation, the khushu'a. This, and his heart is so soft, and he's crying, and they're going on and on and on. And then when they finally fast, he turns towards the window. And when they finally stop, he turns towards the window, and he says, and I'm also fasting. In other words, one doesn't seek spiritual guidance to impress people, to be some sort of charlatan, but to actualize their servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this goes on, because maybe we're not worthy of the raised station. Inna awliya Allah, inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. The awliya, the befriended, the beloved, the helped of Allah are those who believe and have sincere faith. So that's the requisite. It's not, we don't have to think, oh, I have to be super Muslim. No, you have to believe, alhamdulillah. You have to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, sincerely, and try your best to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never see yourself. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. The human being, regardless of his or her religion, has been ennobled by Allah. That's why we don't mutilate corpses in warfare of enemies. And because of the basic karama, the basic dignity that Allah has conferred upon the human being. And so if you're a human being, and then that dignity is enhanced by being a believer, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And so the honor, the dignity is for Allah and the Messenger and the believers. It's the hypocrites who realize it not. So if you're a believer, then you should see yourself as worthy, a worthy recipient of the gifts that Allah Ta'ala might send to you. So should we be grateful with how much knowledge He has already given us and trust that He will grant us more? Or should we, ask. And it doesn't negate humility, because you're asking not for the aggrandizement of your soul. You're not asking so you can hang out with the scholars, or you're asking so that you can actualize your servitude. And that's what it's all about. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've only created the jinn and the humans that they worship me, that they serve me, that they are my ibad. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And so, عَبَدَ يَعْبُدُونَ, we get ibad. عِبَادَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. So we get the servant, and so we seek knowledge, we seek guidance, we seek that for our elevation, actualizing our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ibadi kullukum dal illa man ahdaytuhu fastahduni ahdikum. Oh, my servants, all of you are astray except those I have guided. Seek my guidance and I will guide you. So there's your answer, sister. Seek my guidance. Ask me, literally, we can say this 10th form, fastahduni. Ask me for guidance and I will guide you. So it can't be clearer. I could have saved 5 minutes just by saying that from the very beginning. So the time has passed. People on the West Coast have to break their fast, have to get ready for Taraweeh. People on the East Coast have to go run to Taraweeh. May Allah bless all of you. Well, there's one more question. Since I've already made you all late, let's make it official. So Sister Fatima Mahmood asks, how can we tame deteriorating mental health during Ramadan? That you should consult a mental health professional. And if they're Muslim, all the better. We have Khalil centers popping up, trained Muslim psychiatrists and therapists. Consult a trained mental health professional, because that's an answer that requires some medical expertise that I don't particularly possess. So may Allah give you, or whoever you're asking for, tawfiq and lutf, ease and gentleness, and may they have a good outcome. Jazakum Allah khairan, barakallahu fikum. May Allah bless all of you, bless your families during Ramadan. who make dua for Chaplain Suhaib Sultan, rahimahullah, who passed away yesterday at a fairly young age. May Allah grant him, ya Allah, bismillah, marhim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa marham, akhana, Suhaib Sultan, rahamhu, ya Allah, wa ya Allah, jawiz an sayyati in kanat, wa yani taqabbal hasanatihi, ya Allah, wa attir qabrahu, wa wasi' qabrahu, واجعل في قبره نافذة هو يرى خلالها مكانه في الجنة واجعل قبره يا الله روضة من رياض الجنة يا الله فتقبل منه يا الله تقبل منه يا الله فارحمه يا الله واغفر له يا الله ولموت المسلمين جميعا أنت مولانا يا الله نشكرك ونحمدك بأنك أنت الله بأنك أنت الله بأنك أنت الله أنت جدير للحمد وجدير للشكر وجدير للثناء فتقبل منه ومنا يا الله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.